Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
Finally, a light shines on Lyme disease. Limelight Radio with Katina Makris is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential to expand awareness and activate change to eliminate Lyme disease for good. Limelight Radio is a much-needed venue for the USA's number one fastest-spreading infectious illness. Katina is an award-winning author, a natural healthcare practitioner with over 30 years' experience, and most importantly, a healing force with her own personal Lyme journey. Be part of a movement to help end the suffering and confusion surrounding Lyme disease and begin to take action. Now here's your host, Katina Makris.
Then I go to my brother, and I say, brother, help me please.
Hello, everyone. This is Katina Makris, and welcome to Limelight Radio. It's a wonderful afternoon up here in New Hampshire, and I have two very talented women to join me today. We have Monty Scal and we have Susan R. Green. And let me tell you about both of them. I'm going to read their bios and then we're going to have a great discussion. So get ready for a good afternoon here. Susan R. Green has been a litigator engaged in the practice of law for over 20 years. While her chief area of focus is in the field of medical malpractice, serious personal injury, and criminal law, Ms. Green also defends physicians before the medical licensing boards. In 2007, Ms. Green became disabled by a mysterious illness. After repeated tests for Lyme disease coming back negative, she received a wide range of diagnoses, all which were inaccurate. It would take 20 months of IV antibiotics and 4 years of oral support in order for her to have her former health restored. Upon learning that the tests she had relied upon were faulty, she authored what would ultimately form the foundation for the Virginia Patient Information Disclosure Act, passed in July 1st, 2013. Requiring physicians to inform patients of the unreliability of the current two-tier commercial test. In 2012, Ms. Green was instrumental in securing proclamations from the governor, county executive, and other office holders in Maryland proclaiming May Lyme Awareness Month. A frequent guest on radio talk shows and guest speakers at meetings, she educates the public about Lyme disease. She's been an advisor and testified on many legislative bills and councils and advocates outside of her state. Ms. Green was a guest speaker at the National May Day Rally in Washington, D.C. in 2013, where she spoke about the Virginia bill. She is a fundraiser, but dearest to her heart is supporting the patients who are still suffering without means of hope or recovery. Now, we have also the wonderful Monty Scal, who is George Washington University graduate, executive director of the National Capital Lyme and Tick-Borne Disease Association, a not-for-profit organization dedicated to Lyme and tick-borne disease education, prevention, research, and patient support. NatCap Lyme is nationally recognized leader in Lyme patient advocacy community. In 2001, Monty helped form NatCap Lyme, and under her guidance, it has grown to an informal membership of over 2,000 patients. Monty has been an active advocate for Lyme for more than 15 years and has testified, lobbied, and educated at all governmental levels. She has helped organize an educational forum in the U.S. Congress on Lyme and tick-borne diseases and worked with legislatures to introduce state legislation in both Virginia and Maryland. She has testified before the Maryland legislature regarding Lyme and tick-borne disease and has worked with national groups in seeking federal Lyme disease legislation. She sat on the Governor McDonald's board to study Lyme and tick-borne disease in Virginia in 2011. Monty is a frequent speaker on Lyme disease, and under her leadership, the association has grown to include chapters throughout the state of Virginia, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. She is hospital trained support group facilitator at Sibley Memorial Hospital since 2001, helping patients and their families cope with Lyme. Thank you, both of you. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Nice to be here, Katrina.
Yes, it's really a pleasure. I met both of you briefly at the Lyme rally in Washington, D.C., so it's wonderful to visit the Mid-Atlantic with you today and learn more about this tremendous bill that you got passed, this Virginia bill. I am so impressed by this hard work. Can you tell us what inspired you to get this bill going?
Well, this is Susan speaking. It happened about 3.5-4 years ago. I was sitting in Virginia in front of the House of Delegates, and they were arguing a physician protection bill. And a question was posed by one of the delegates. They asked, why should we protect a whole class of doctors based solely upon the fact that they prescribe long-term antibiotics? And, you know, it really resonated with me. Because the fact of the matter is, while our LLMDs need protecting, we shouldn't necessarily protect blanketly a whole group of doctors merely because they're prescribing long-term antibiotics, because as we all know, amongst them, there are some doctors that are not good doctors. They're not practicing safe medicine, and unfortunately, they're preying on a very desperate population. And so it occurred to me that while these protection bills are really important, in the long run, when these medical boards seek to attack a physician who's treating Lyme patients, oftentimes they don't go after them and say, oh, it's because you're prescribing long-term antibiotics, but rather they'll go after them for coding violations or any one of a host of violations that don't specifically say what we all know is the reason they're being targeted. So in that moment, I had this epiphany, and I thought, you know, we're probably placing our emphasis and focus on the wrong party. Who really needs to be protected in this issue is the patient. And the biggest problem that I could see for the patients is lack of information. And so when I first sat down and wrote this bill, and mind you, having been a victim myself of false negatives for so long and become right. So ill as a result of that, when I first sat down to write the bill, it had a lot of moving pieces. It was far more grand and far more daring than it wound up. But what I learned early on is the more pieces that you have, the more assailable your bill. And Monty and I walked the halls of the Maryland General Assembly and the Virginia General Assembly. We went to Washington. We saw delegates and senators and congressmen. And over those years of fine-tuning and honing the bill, the final bill that you see now, House Bill 1933, for the most part, became the basis for what we brought last year. And it had a lot of help along the way. We had, of course, help. Monty and I had help from Greg Scull, who is counsel for NATCAP, and Karen Weber. And there were a lot of NATCAP members that participated and really helped to fine-tune it so that it was, in the end, one unassailable fact, and that is the test is inaccurate in early infection, that if you get a negative test result, it does not mean that you do not have Lyme disease, and if your symptoms persist, you should return to your doctor for further testing and or treatment. And in the process of, we picked two people to drop the bill. One was Delegate Barbara Comstock, and the other was Senator Richard Black, Dick Black. And I can only tell you that we had such strong leadership from these two individuals, and they had the courage to, no matter how many times the bill went to drafting and came back rewritten, they had the courage to compel the drafters to write the bill the way we wanted it written, and they dropped it the way in our language. And it was a tremendous battle, and probably one of the hardest I've ever fought. But all I can tell you is between, even if we had lost the bill, which we didn't, thank God, but even if we had lost it, the media coverage that we got during the process really helped to educate people in Virginia that this test cannot be relied upon. And I doubt you could find somebody in Virginia, except in areas where there's not great media connections, I doubt you could find anybody in Virginia that doesn't now know not to rely on that test.
Well, that's fantastic. Susan and Monty, thank you really for all of us for working so hard. My gosh, it sounds like it was such a diligent process.
It was probably, this is Monty speaking, probably one of the most rewarding projects that our association and our members have ever worked on. And this is a historical bill, Christina, because what it does, it guarantees that all Virginians being tested for Lyme disease will be provided with a written disclosure stating the limitations of Lyme disease testing. Mm-hmm. And although that sounds simple, that is really huge, because this is the first bill that we feel that we've been a part of that actually immediately affects Lyme patients. And it's early in the process, in the disease process. It's the beginning. It's the most important part, I think, of the whole process, and that is the diagnostic process. So,
definitely,
this we think is huge because patients now are informed. We're seeing evidence of that in our state right now. Most immediate care facilities that you go in have this disclosure sheet out on their counters. We're hearing from certain hospitals in various areas of the state that when people go into the emergency rooms, not for necessarily for tick bites, but just going in, and as they leave checking out, they are given an information sheet on Lyme prevention and what to do if you're bitten
by
a tick.
That's terrific. Right. Listen, we have to go to a station break, but hold on, everybody, because we've got to talk about this more. So
okay.
This is Limelight Radio, and we will be right back.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit limelightradio.com.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.
Tune in each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit radio show that illuminates the heart-centered bond of animal and human as souls destined to find each other in a lifetime. Each week, this world-renowned animal communicator, through her live call-in show, will assist you in understanding animals as light beings, here to raise the vibrational level of this planet. They're ready. Are you?
Hi, this is Katina Macris of Limelight Radio. Do you or someone you know suffer with Lyme disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, MS, allergies, loss of wellness? I did, and advanced cell training has been a restorative, self-healing modality, bringing renewed health and energy to my life. Thousands of others rave about the remarkable success Gary Bleyer's cutting-edge healing approach at AdvancedCellTraining.com creates. Request their free DVD for self-healing work in the comfort of your own home at AdvancedCellTraining.com. Be inspired to heal in new and expansive ways. Your life is too precious to ignore.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we?
Hi, this is Katina Macris, and we're back on Limelight Radio Live today with Monty Skull and Susan Green from Virginia and Maryland. Are you both from, where are you each from?
This is Monty. I am from Virginia, McLean, Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C.
Okay, and Susan, where are you?
I'm from Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay, so you're both in the same neighborhood, so to speak. So Monty was filling us in on how tremendous this bill, this House Bill 1933 that Susan and she have worked so hard and got passed in the July of 2013, how instrumental it's been in the state of Virginia. Tell us a little more about that, Monty.
Well, you know, I could add to that last, what I said before we took the break, was that it's a great joy. You know, when you talk about bills being passed in the legislation and everything, to actually see them implemented is really exciting. And I happened to walk into our local clinic, emergency clinic here in McLean, Virginia, and I saw the actual bill being passed out to people who were signing out from seeing their physician. And it was a real thrill to see that happen. So, but I want to add something to what Susan said. One of the reasons we went in the direction of testing with this bill was that I happened to have the fortune to sit on a task force that was set up by our governor, Bob McDonald. And in 2011, they came out with recommendations from that task force. And one of the things they said was that there is no serological test that can rule out Lyme disease. Now, we all sort of know that if you've been around in this community for a while. But the fact is, what we ran into, and especially since I had the opportunity to go around to various cities in Virginia and at town hall meetings listen to patients who came to testify to us what was happening to them in our state. And probably the most common thing I heard was, I got a tick attachment or a bullseye rash or a bite, and I went into my physician to find out what to do. And he ran a blood test on me, and it came back negative. So
right.
I told
we've all heard that, wrong. Right? Haven't we?
Yeah, and we've all heard this over
we've
and
heard
over.
It, and we've lived it.
Exactly, right. all of us. Oh my!
And
gosh.
Hearing this was one of the reasons we thought a testing bill was really very, very important. So I just wanted to add that.
Yes, I mean, so critical. I mean, Susan and I have the same story, really. I had 3 false negatives over 5 years and was bedridden. And we know how many hundreds of thousands of other people, same thing, with this negative finding. So this is a huge step in the right direction that you've got this taken care of in Virginia. And, you know, tell us, is it possible that this kind of thing could happen from state to state? Can people model what you did?
You know,
we've been contacted
in fact,
a great deal
we're
by
doing
people.
A panel at an upcoming forum that's going to be held here in Arlington, Virginia on October the 5th. And both Susan and I, and also one of the delegates that was involved in this bill, is going to be on that panel, and we're hoping to answer people's questions and help them if they decide they want to introduce this bill in their state.
And I was going to say that we've been contacted by people from states all over the country, and we are totally willing to work with them in any way that we can to help them bring the bill, because as I indicated, you know, we were very fortunate because we did have I have to say, I've sat through a lot of legislative hearings on Lyme issues, and I have never seen a legislative process like this one. There were delegates and senators who stood up and testified on behalf of this bill, some of whom cried. There were senators who stood up and said, I have Lyme, my child has Lyme, my dog has Lyme. There was one senator, one delegate who stood up and said, my father had a Bell's palsy. He was a farmer. And he went on to say that if this bill had been law when he was tested, he believed he'd be alive today. And they were actually crying, some of these people, when they were testifying as to the importance and the need of this bill. And the way we view it, as I indicated, the mere media support of the bill, the dialogue about it, educated so many people. So it's my hope that people will pick up this bill and bring it around the country, and so that other states will likewise be advised that this is just a bad test.
Yeah, I really love that idea. I mean, it's a fresh new bill. It was this summer that it got finalized, correct?
July 1st.
July 1st.
So perfect. So now we can take the ball and run with it if we can get it from state to state, right?
Right. That's right.
So that's tremendous. It's a huge step in the right direction. And, you know, I speak like you both do at all kinds of different places around the country, at different functions, at Grange halls and libraries. And, I mean, people are in terrible shape. They're in wheelchairs. They've got the palsies, like you've said. And, I mean, how many decades of this suffering has gone on, as just as you said, that one gentleman's father with the Bell's palsy from years ago?
Well, I think that we saw a different process this time, because historically when we've approached any of the General Assemblies, there's been a tremendous reticence for anybody to hear or want to pass a Lyme bill. The medical societies and the Infectious Disease Society, the hospitals, they are strong lobbying forces. And when they, you know, when they oppose a bill, it's very, very difficult to overcome. This was really the first time that we actually witnessed people in the governmental body stand up and be counted and tell their story. And their stories were so moving and compelling. And when the final vote went up in the House of Delegates and it passed, you could have heard a pin drop in the room as the numbers were being tallied. And it was close, but just some very moving speeches. And so change is coming. It's really upon us. This is our time. And I think that this is our time to get creative, bring more bills, more patient rights bills, more patient protection bills, because God knows that's who really needs it.
Definitely. And I mean, this angle that you approached was very wise, to go for the Lyme testing, actually, the accuracy issue.
Right.
I mean, that's just such a specific thing that we know is such a big error in the early process of this illness, is so many people get missed right up front and then they have a lifetime of suffering. So that was, you know, very perfect, you know, angle to go at, as you said.
You know, I can't stress too much. This was almost like David against Goliath, in the sense that it was truly the citizens of our state of Virginia, the Lyme patients, that really pushed this bill through. This time, we were very organized in Virginia, and we had almost every district covered, because our people had joined together and gone out and really done their work by educating the legislators. And so when the time came to move on the bill and, you know, go to the General Assembly and present the bill, the people had really educated their legislators.
That's fantastic. That's great.
I can't thank our community enough for the effort and the time that they put in and all the people that were involved in this.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Katina.
No, go ahead. That's fine, Susan.
I was going to say, and even though I live in Maryland, I specifically went to Monty in Virginia because they're, you know, in Virginia, their governor was one of the most progressive, forward-thinking politicians on the issue of Lyme disease. He was so ahead of the curve. And, you know, Monty, of course, and NatCap Lyme have done so much work, and they've laid such a strong foundation and infrastructure in that state that if there were a state that were going to pass it, that was certainly one of the, you know, the top five states that would have been able to do it.
Yeah, that's great. I was wondering how you decided to go with Virginia. So you answered my question right there. And also, I know it's riddled with Lyme with that farmland and moderate climate, right?
Right. Well, you know, especially the northern part of Virginia, they've had such high numbers of reported cases for the past 5 years now. That's the Loudoun County area, Fairfax. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, they've been innovative in doing tick drags and really, and we owe that to our health department, Fairfax County Health Department. And Loudoun followed suit not too long afterwards, but we've been on top of this for at least 10 years down here.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I'm up here in northern New England, and it's more southern New England that was alert to Lyme disease. It's only the past 5 years that they're kind of waking up to the catastrophe up north here. But I know the Mid-Atlantic's in serious trouble. I was in North Carolina in April, and same thing. People are telling me, oh, they go to hang wash on the line, and they come back with five ticks, you know?
Wow. That's what it's like in Loudoun County. Fortunately, I don't live there.
Yeah.
I'm in Fairfax.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, it's time for our next station break. But when we come back, we have more to talk about. So everyone stay with us. This is Limelight Radio, and we're talking to Monty Skaal and Susan Green. And stay tuned.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to transformationtalkradio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community. Transformation Talk Radio's amazing hosts span from the Pacific to the Atlantic Coast. With a world full of loyal fans, what's stopping you from joining our clan? Bring your powerful message to listening ears. We've been helping people do this for many years. Want to make a difference? We can help you out. Just give us at Transformation Talk Radio a shout. It's easy to get started with an email so small to host@transformationtalkradio.com, and then we'll give you a call.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great! We should spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio, and I have to say the change is definitely in the air. As you all hear with my theme music, we have Change Is Gonna Come, that wonderful song from Sam Cooke, and we've been talking about a great bill, Virginia House Bill 1933, that Susan Green and Monty Skull have been actively involved in getting passed. And we've been talking about Lyme disease in general and how rampant it is in Virginia and the Mid-Atlantic state. And Susan, you had a wonderful piece of information you were sharing with me on some statistics. Could you share that with our listeners?
Well, I was saying that it would be unfortunate for people to think that it's only a Northeast problem, because although the new study says that instead of 30,000 new cases a year, it's actually 300,000 new cases a year. The fact of the matter is the Lyme-literate doctors that I represent will tell you that they see patients from 44 states and 14 countries. This disease is everywhere, rampant in the South. It's all throughout the country. And so if people have symptoms, unexplained symptoms, and they don't know what they have, a lot of times the doctors won't test in those states, but they really have to insist. You have to be your own advocate.
Yes, because I was sharing with both of you that Arkansas has a Lyme support group. So does Georgia, Texas, all different areas. I even have had people email me from Montana and Iowa. Lyme disease is everywhere. But as you said, a lot of doctors don't even know to test for it. And then they get that faulty test result.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So that's why your bill is so important. And so when people come in and they get that negative test result and a doctor doesn't know what to do, what do you believe is the next best step?
Well, you really want to find a doctor who's fluent in Lyme disease, because Lyme disease should be a clinical diagnosis, the test should not be relied upon for making the diagnosis. And so you want to make sure that your doctor is up to date in understanding the disease and being able to recognize the symptoms.
Definitely, also, yeah. And as you said, it's a clinical diagnosis, so the doctor needs to know what they're looking at and what the signs and symptoms are.
Right. One of the things that this bill does is it makes the doctor become more aware, and it really sort of helps the doctor to educate himself on this particular disease. Because in order to decide whether to treat or not to treat a patient at that point, he has to really think about it and really make a decision on his own, rather than just, you know, saying you do not have Lyme disease because this test is negative. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what do you expect a doctor to do? What we're seeing here in Virginia is a lot of doctors now are feeling more comfortable about going ahead and treating. Can you all hold on?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I know that.
Sorry about that.
Up here in New England, doctors are getting braver about going ahead and giving 6 weeks of antibiotics right up front for a suspicious
right.
tick bite or suspicious symptoms. So, you know, better to be aggressive with an antibiotic that's not deadly. It's in the tetracycline family.
Right, right. And that's what we're seeing here, that doctors with a history of a person having, it doesn't have to be a bullseye rash now, but having a history of a rash and having symptoms, they will go ahead and treat
mm-hmm.
for anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, better to be safe than sorry. We're learning it with this illness. I mean, I've said this often when I'm out speaking, is this is the epidemic illness of this century. We saw HIV and polio,
right,
you know, in the past century. Now it's Lyme disease and tick-borne illness, and sadly, it's progressing everywhere. But we all need to be alert, and that's why Limelight Radio is a great opportunity to share information and help educate people and the wonderful work that you've done with this bill. So besides this wonderful organization, NatCap Lyme, you've got a great event coming up October 5th. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, on October the 5th, there will be organizations and support groups and 501c3 type organizations and Lyme disease patients and advocates coming to Arlington, Virginia, which is right outside of Washington, D.C. They're coming from across the country. We even have people as far away as Canada attending this to attend the first inaugural PAL forum. And we're very excited about it. Everyone has been invited from around the country, and we have people, like I say, as far away as Canada, Oregon, Texas, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina, Maryland, Virginia, Michigan, that are all coming to this event.
That's great. And what does PAL stand for, P-A-L?
Partners Against Lyme and Tick-Associated Diseases.
Is there a website or a link that people could go look at?
It's paltad.org, paltad.org.
That's great. And they'll find information there if they'd like to come join you on the 5th.
Yes. And interestingly enough, we have some very exciting speakers. Dr. Ben Beard will be our first speaker of the day in light of the recent numbers that have been reported of cases of Lyme disease. And the 300,000 number has created a lot of talk and controversy in our community. So he's coming to talk about that and answer questions. We have a Dr. Joseph Jemsek, who has his office here in Washington, D.C., and he will be speaking. We have a panel on investigative congressional hearings that's going to be given, and we have a panel on, again, the bill that Susan was talking about earlier. And patient groups will, representatives will be introducing themselves and their groups and what they do. We have about 24 groups that are slated to speak for 5 minutes. And then we're going to have a real fun time. It's sort of the meat of the program where people break out and they brainstorm, and they're going to be coming back with a lot of good ideas of how we can move forward together.
That's great.
And the whole point here is, Katrina, how we can work smarter together than harder alone. And the fact that the power of our community lies in the strength of our sheer numbers now. 300,000 people a year being diagnosed or are coming down with this disease is a pretty big step from 30,000.
Oh,
so
definitely.
Even though it's a community,
and,
we've always said there's 300,000 people a year. Now it's actually acknowledged. So those numbers are big, and it's going to be that kind of collective determination that we think is going to move us away from the status quo and move toward, as you might want to say, change or into, you know, into the light.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, we're seeing the denial of 5 years ago,
right,
and the complete, ignorance really of doctors and individuals. You know, I feel like doctors were driving in the dark in some way. They weren't given proper education on what to even be looking for with signs and symptoms. 5-10 years ago, the average physician really did not have much information. So we're getting more information out there. Something like PAL is bringing groups together, and as you said, there's safety in numbers and there's creativity in numbers.
Exactly, exactly. We see that great things are going to happen, and with so many wonderful groups coming together. And remember, they retain their own identity. As I said before, this is almost like a trade association. They just come together to work together on projects that they feel are important, and but they still remain their own entities.
That's great. You know, you've done such tremendous work, and I'm excited about PAL, and I can't come join you this year, but I'm going to have to come next year when you have the next one.
Well, we invite you whenever you can come. You're welcome.
Definitely. So we're going to be taking a station break in a little bit, but let me ask you a question, each of you. What has Lyme disease taught you?
Should I answer first?
Sure.
Go ahead, Monty.
It's taught me to let go. You know, I'm at the age now where a lot of things when I was younger and before I had this disease, I could have been pretty inflexible about. What this disease has taught me is how to let go and accept.
Yeah. How about you, Susan?
It taught me how to live, and it taught me the importance of giving back. I spent all these years litigating and helping people, but that was in a way that was commercial. It was for business. And, you know, watching myself and a family member go through the struggles of this disease and getting to the other side where I could return to my life, to practicing, to exercising, to being, you know, having a relatively whole life. Mm-hmm. I look at the people out there who are still suffering and the people who are without any resources and without medicine or doctors, access to doctors. And I know that God needed a foot soldier and I got recruited, and I'm just not going to rest until everybody gets the care they need.
Thank you. Thank you for your beautiful work, both of you. Thank you, really, for all of us. The community needs you and the world needs you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you. We have to go to a station break, everyone. This is Limelight Radio, and if we have a moment, we'll have Susan and Monty on at the end.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Hi, this is Katina Macris of Limelight Radio. Do you or someone you know suffer with Lyme disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, MS, allergies, loss of wellness? I did, and advanced cell training has been a restorative, self-healing modality, bringing renewed health and energy to my life. Thousands of others rave about the remarkable success Gary Bleier's cutting-edge healing approach at AdvancedCellTraining.com creates. Request their free DVD for self-healing work in the comfort of your own home at AdvancedCellTraining.com. Be inspired to heal in new and expansive ways. Your life is too precious to ignore.
Are you looking for positive answers to tough questions in your personal and professional life? On Purpose Radio with Karen Florence is a riveting show that will help you reveal your own truth and begin to live the life you've always wanted. Karen's dynamic approach to coaching people in all areas of their lives has made her one of the most sought-after coaches today. Tune in each Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific and 10 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit OnPurposeRadio.com.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker Sue London. Thursdays on TransformationTalkRadio.com at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimeLightRadio.com.
This is Katina Macris, Limelight Radio, and I am delighted to be on Martha's Vineyard with John Donnelly, 24-year-old advocate for Lyme disease, who's partnered with Tick-Borne Disease Alliance for a wonderful cause, Bite Back for the Cure, and he's cycling across America to raise attention for Lyme disease awareness. So welcome, John. It's really a pleasure to meet you.
Katina, thank you so much for having me on the show and for that warm introduction. It's great to be here.
That's great. Well, I can see that you are a survivor and you've fought through this illness for a number of years. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am. I mean, this is an illness that hits real close to home for me. Both of my parents, my younger sister, and now as of just a few weeks ago, actually, my aunt have all suffered with Lyme disease. So this is a project that's been evolving for several months, and it's something I feel very passionate about. And it's really cool to see it all happening today. And we just had such a good ride and are getting such good support.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, it's shocking, I think, for America to be waking up to realize that this infectious illness that people thought was just very small and localized to the shores of Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts, just actually all over the country and all over the world. And I think this platform of yours on your bike, heading across all our states, including the Rocky Mountains, to bring awareness, very noble cause, and I'm proud of you.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what this campaign and this journey is all about, to say, hey, this is something that's happening across the country. And this is going to be kicked off in late September in California, and I'll be ending in early December in Washington, D.C.
Wow. You know, I was wondering about that. So you're going to be starting on the West Coast in San Francisco?
In San Francisco, yeah.
And approximately how many miles per day do you think you're going to achieve?
It's going to be, we're shooting for 100 miles a day.
Awesome.
Which is ambitious.
Yeah, very.
But I've been training for 4 months now, and I'm feeling very healthy, the healthiest I have in a very long time. And obviously, there's going to be rest days, because this is really about meeting and speaking with patients along the way. So on those days, I'm going to be entirely with them, you know, not on the bike. So I'll have time to rest, but it's certainly going to be a challenge.
It's going to be definitely hard work, but you know what you know about hard work, because how many years did you battle Lyme disease?
Right. I've got a pretty long-standing history with this illness. I was officially diagnosed with Lyme disease in 2003 when I was 13 years old, but I'd been suffering with pretty significant health issues since I was 9. So doctors didn't know what was wrong with me. I was misdiagnosed with other sicknesses, sent to different specialists. And then after 4 years, you know, kind of told to get over my symptoms. And it wasn't until half of my face went paralyzed that they realized, you know, I think this might be Lyme. Test came back positive. I was treated with 3 weeks of antibiotics, which many people believe is a way to get rid of it forever. My family found out, as many families across the country do, that it's not very straightforward treating a tick-borne disease. So this is something that came back when I was in college, and I still couldn't put my finger on it. And after, you know, about a year and a half of experiencing bizarre symptoms, I found out I had a second bout.
Second bout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is something that we are realizing the hard way, really, for through the past 30, 40 years, that this illness can take many forms. And you're lucky if you get diagnosed and treated aggressively in the early weeks. But if not, like your case and my story too, it can go on for years and years and years. So I'm really excited because we're going to be speaking with you every week of your trip across America. You're going to be checking in with us on Limelight Radio. It's going to be my privilege to hear your updates, the people you're meeting, the support groups you interface with, what it's like in different regions of the country, what the awareness is like.
Right.
So thank you, John, for partnering with me and Limelight Radio, and we're going to do some great work together and help educate the country on just what's going on. So you're a voice that I'm really proud to work with.
Well, thank you so much. That's really what this is. It's about making connections, developing relationships, listening to people's stories, and then sharing those stories in a far-reaching way. And that's something you're providing here, and I really appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you, John. Thank you. So, hi, everyone. This is Katina. We dropped in that clip with John Donnelly that I recorded with him on Martha's Vineyard in August. And John starts his trek this weekend in San Francisco across America. He'll be taking the northern route across the Rockies and then down and ends up in Washington, D.C. And we're going to be following him every week. He's going to check in with me on Limelight Radio. So we're going to hear his progress and his updates. So I just wanted to remind you all that that's John Donnelly, Bite Back for the Cure, and to follow him on Limelight Radio. And he'll be on the Twitter feeds too. So we've got a few minutes left. And I've got Monty Skull and Susan Green here with me. And we've been discussing the Virginia bill and also the wonderful work they're doing with the PAL organization and the weekend of October 5th. Great guests, speakers, groups all uniting in Arlington, Virginia. So thank you both for being with me today. And any closing thoughts each of you might share on Lyme disease or your work, anything you'd like to share with our listeners?
I'd just like to say very quickly, I encourage everybody that can possibly attend the PAL Forum to please come and be there. It's going to be very informative and very productive, and it will be a great chance to network with other advocates across the country. We presently have every state represented plus eight different countries in the PAL membership, so please make it a priority. I think you all will find it very worthwhile.
Yes, and where can people stay? Will they find it on the website? Is there
on the website, Katrina? It's if you go, you can register. Where you register, it has the hotel. It's the Holiday Inn. That's very close to George Mason University Law School. We're doing this in conjunction with this law school, and so it's very convenient.
Excellent. So that'll make it easy for everyone.
Right.
And Monty and I are going to teach everybody how, you know, the nuts and bolts of the Virginia bill and legislation in general. And anybody who is interested in bringing the bill, will give them all the help and support they need.
That's wonderful. I mean, this bill has been such a huge step forward. It acknowledges the illness. It acknowledges the mysterious nature of the illness. It acknowledges the fact that people have been sick and clamoring for help, and doctors have not been known what to do or how to help them. And this bill, 1933, you're putting some clarity into the fact that we don't have a real test that's definitive. We need a clinical diagnosis, and we're not going to brush off a patient with mysterious symptoms.
That's right.
Right?
That's exactly. Right. You've got it. Perfect.
Because
nice job.
So many have been brushed off with mysterious symptoms. So
right.
This is a wonderful step. We're having some recognition, some clarity, and it would be terrific if we could develop a daisy chain and state by state people can model your bill and implement it. And as both of you have pointed out, this is not just an East Coast illness.
Right.
This illness is everywhere. It's, you know, in Oklahoma, it's in Missouri, it's in California, it's all over. So,
and who knows, maybe along the way we can even educate Florida and North Carolina that their ticks are not vegetarians, that they do bite people down there. We're coming
right.
To the South. We're going to teach them.
Right.
I know. North Carolina's in sad shape. I was down there in April, and it's just riddled. And Florida, too, especially the northern part of Florida, isn't it? Birds winter over, right?
I have seen in writing in both places the fact that their ticks don't bite people.
Really?
Yeah, they have vegetarian ticks, gourmet vegetarian ticks there. But I'm hoping, my dream is that they'll come to understand that, yes, in fact, their ticks have been biting people, and they have a huge infected population, and, you know, they need help, and they need recognition.
They do.
And we're working on...
Listen, we have to go. I hate to see the hour end. Thank you both. You're wonderful guests. Keep up your great work, and we'll all come to PAL.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. This is Limelight Radio. Join us next week.
Bye, Katina.
I don't know what's up there beyond the sky.
You've been listening to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready for some of the most provocative conversation with leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. If you've missed any part of this hit radio show, visit LimelightRadio.com. That's LimelightRadio.com. We'll see you next week on Limelight Radio with Katina Macris.
Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me, please.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Having trouble keeping up with the accelerated, life-altering changes occurring on the planet? The Quantum Vortex is the brainchild of Meg Benedicte, a pioneer in quantum healing and energetic activations. Weaving together ancient spiritual knowledge, quantum physics, and vibrational healing, Meg Benedicte is accelerating change at the cellular level. For more details on private sessions, meditation CDs, downloads, and teleseminars, visit NewEarthCentral.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
The Divine Divas Radio Show with Patricia Iris Cairns and co-host Cheryl Angela is dedicated to being love in action and joy in jumping into the next new paradigms for humanity. Divine Divas Radio is evolutionary, revolutionary, and soul-empowered, sharing insights of hope, love, and joy every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join the divas and evolutionary visionaries each week as we step into the new era of oneness and peace together. And visit DivineDivasRadio.com.
There's a great hunger in this world for new lines of thought, because everywhere you look, they say that joy can just be bought. So please come and set aside some time to relax from frenetic. Transform your life. It takes a while, but results are magnetic. We aim to grasp the best in life and track the ways we grew. The how, the why, the what, wherefore, all this we share and do. But every now and then, we hope that you will share right back. Transformation Talk Radio wants you to hop on track. So calling all hosts, tall and small, of every size and hue, there's nobody we'd rather have to tell your tale than you. And if you have a tale to tell of how your life is changing, we'd love to hear you on the line, say how you're rearranging. So run, don't walk, to call us now. We'll set you up and show you how.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Join our radio family. Send us an email, host@transformationtalkradio.com, or call 1-800-930-2819. Host your own show. Let us help you bring your voice to the world.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com.